Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
the Lord, and that walking is done within the narrow way. The Lord does not walk anywhere but within the narrow way. What is wrong with my mic this morning? We've got issues this morning. Amen. I may just rip this thing off and preach. And that's about what I'll tell you. What is it this mic? Okay, we're good. Well, let's keep her fixed. Amen. All right. Well, we have to turn it off. We'll turn it off. But okay. But anyway, I want us to understand how to walk with Jesus. That's so important that we know how to walk with Jesus. And there's some things, you know, we talked about last week how not to how to avoid being robbed of our blessings. That we couldn't listen to ungodly counsel. We couldn't stand in the way of sinners, and we couldn't sit in the seat of the scornful. If we were going to be blessed by God, all those things pulled us off of the narrow way. And this is an extension. I was going to go to Psalm chapter 23 and talk about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I wanted to talk about the paths of righteousness and also the valley of the shadow of death. I wanted to talk about that, and I may go back and talk about that. But then the Lord led me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And I read some in 1 Peter chapter 4, but then last night he led me back to Romans chapter 6. So I want to tell you what, just for the sake of doing, I want us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And, you know, as I told you this morning, I've been back and forth and back and forth and reading and back and forth, and I'm really not sure exactly where I'm going to go with this thing. I'm going to let the Lord do it. It's what I'm going to do. But, you know, this is one of the times that I feel absolutely unprepared as I got up here. But for some reason, I have absolute calm about it because I know God's in control. And so whatever he does is what he'll do. But there's two verses there in 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to read those, and then we'll pray, and we'll touch on those, and then we'll jump back in Romans chapter 6. But I want to read those two verses, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. If you found that, if you have, say amen. Amen. Well, let's read them. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come now to you, and we need you, Father. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, you've led me all around the Scriptures today and last night. Father, I feel like I know where you want me to go, but Lord, you're going to have to do all the heavy lifting and all the driving. Lord, I'll go with you, and I'll be your mouthpiece, and I'll say what you want me to say. But Lord, it's all up to thee. You do what you want to do. It's your will. You have your will and way this morning through this preacher. Open these lips and speak the word of God as you'd have me to speak it. Lord God, we pray, and we lift up those who couldn't be with us this morning. We pray a special blessing upon them. Lord, all those out there listening on the internet, Lord, Father, we just pray you bless them, and those watching, Father, you bless them. Lord, and we just pray, Father, that you might speak to their hearts, and Holy Ghost of God, that you convict sinners and bring them to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we just pray this morning that you do a work in these dear people here this morning. Father, that you'd show them that we're not to live in sin. We're to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Lord, that we're to yield ourselves and our bodies freely, a sacrifice to you, for you to use and to fill. And Lord, that we're not to take back what belongs to you. Oh, Lord, show us how to walk in your way, Father. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and we give you all the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen. I kept getting hung up in 1 Peter chapter 4. I kept getting hung up on those first two verses. But the Lord led me last night to Romans 6. But let's read there again in chapter 4. The Bible says, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, Oh, he did. He's speaking of his humanity there. When we consider what Christ has done, I've described it so many times, how Christ suffered in the flesh, how Christ paid. And by the way, listen to me now. Christ paid the ultimate price for sin. The ultimate price that was paid for sin was the shedding of his blood and his death upon the cross. He had to die for our sins. He had to mortify that human body that he was born into. He had to lay it down as a sacrifice for us and suffer our punishment. He became sin for us, and in sacrificing his own life and his own body, he died for sin. And the Bible says, for as much, then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. So Paul is saying, you need to think about what I just said when I say what I'm going to say. You think about how Christ paid for your sin. You think about how he suffered for your sin. I don't know what's the matter with this morning with our sound equipment, but I tell you right now, the devil doesn't want this preached. Amen? For as he wants us to think, God wants us to think about how Christ suffered for our sins. He said, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Now notice what he says. Arm yourselves. Here's your weapon. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Now what is he saying? He's saying just like Christ paid the price for our sins by his own body being put to death, you and I, in order to please him, must put to death this body. We must die. Look up here. We must die to our own desires and our own wants and our own lusts. We have got to do it as he did it. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be nailed to a cross and bleed and die. But what it does mean is that on a daily basis, as you walk that narrow way with Christ, the only way to walk that narrow way with Christ is to walk it as his disciple. That means in his pattern. That means as his disciplined one. Amen? That means that's why it says, take up his cross and follow me. Amen? We are following, walking with Jesus. We cannot do it willy-nilly, however we see fit, pleasing ourselves and giving Jesus a wink and a nod every now and then. It has to be done by mortifying our lusts. That means killing that thing within you, Sam, that wants to do wrong. Killing that desire, Megan. Look up here. That desire that wants to get pouty and get in a bad mood and be ugly to people. You got to kill that. That can't please God. You cannot be grappy and grouchy all the time and treat people dirty. You've got to kill. You can't just sit and gossip and talk about everybody and everybody's everything's going on with everybody and run and put people in trouble and say things that cause people to have problems. You cannot. You've got to put those things. If you're going to walk with Christ, you have got to put that stuff aside. You've got to kill it. It won't go away. It's a sickness. It's a disease of this body. You will not be prospered. That's what the Lord talked about when he said through David, amen, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Listen, we are not the same as we once were. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what he said. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now listen, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. I'm mindful of what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. But listen to me, we don't want to have to do anything painful. We don't want to have to go in through any pain. Man, we run from pain. But listen, if you're going to be successful in anything, it's going to cost you something. Most people ain't got enough courage to put forth any, ain't got enough guts to struggle against something. If it ain't easy, we don't want to do it. It's called having some character. God-given character. Being a Christian is not, it's not baby school, amen? It's real. It's grit. There's a reason why it's a narrow way. It's a rocky way. It takes some struggle. I told this story thousands of times, it seems like. But I believe it was David Livingston or Adoniram Judson. One of them was overseas, and the man wrote to him and said, is there an easy way to get to where you're at? And he wrote him back and said, I don't want a man coming that's looking for an easy way. You can't take an easy way with God. That's the broad way. That's easy. You stroll down the broad way. But you've got to walk carefully on the narrow way. And it takes a struggle against sin. Because sin is pulling and pawing and clawing at you every single day of your life to take you down, to keep you from walking with Jesus. There is a battle. Don't think the worst thing people think is, oh, I got saved. Now the devil's going to roll over on his back and let me scratch his belly like a puppy dog and wag his tail. But I got saved. So, hey, everything's good now. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. That's what he wants you to believe. You've now begun to meet the devil. He was your running buddy. Before you got saved, you and he were best friends. But now you are arch enemies. And he is out to destroy you. And he will volley sin after sin after sin after sin your way. And you have got to battle against that sin. That's why Ephesians chapter 6, all that armor is described. Because it's a fight against sin. And unless you, and God specifically here in chapter 4 mentions the place of battle in the believer's life. And that battle is for your mind. Because if you destroy the head, the body falls. Amen? Y'all heard that, kill the head and the body dies, amen? If Satan can get to your mind, he can get to your body. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now, the Christian can never be destroyed in hell, but the Christian's life can be destroyed here on earth. So, we saw there, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. We are not to live like other people do. We've been called out from this walk that other men are walking. We can't just maintain what we perceive to be that safe distance from everybody else. We have got to ignore how they are doing it altogether. We are going to have, look up here, we're going to have to forget, the work, everybody else is doing it. That should be the last thing you ever think about. Everybody else is doing that. There's nothing wrong. Everybody does that. Everybody's going to hell. Those everybody else, they're going to hell. You can't be concerned with how everybody else watches this, or everybody else reads that, or everybody else does this, or drinks that, or whatever, takes that. Let me tell you something. A Christian is not of this world. So we can't be concerned with what this world does. Listen again to the scripture very closely. That he should no longer, that means from the time you get saved forward, You say, well, I ain't always done it. Well, we ain't talking about what you did before. We're talking about starting right now this Sunday morning going forward. We ain't talking about what happened yesterday, the day before that. We're talking about this Sunday morning forward because that's all we can deal with. That he should no longer live the rest of his time. That's all you've got left is the rest of your time. In the flesh to the lusts of men. But to the will of God. It's a novel idea to just start tomorrow living according to God's will. That, as we sing that song sometimes, take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life. Arm yourself with this mind. To ransom thee, surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Hey, it's up to him. It's not up to you. It's up to his will, not your will. Your will is to be hidden in his will. Amen? You're to sacrifice and crucify your will to his will. One of the sacrifices that God wants from you is for you to sacrifice your will and give it to him. Amen? So now let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And the Lord led me here last night about 1:30 in the morning while most everybody else was asleep. I was sitting at the dinner table and I was reading. So Paul gives some advice here. Paul gives some truth here on the fact that as we are walking in this narrow way, arming ourselves with that mind, here's some powerful, powerful advice. Y'all just follow me. I know I'm tough this morning to follow back here with them cameras, but I'm going to walk and preach. Amen. Paul asks this question. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let's put that in easy to understand language. I've been forgiven. The blood of Jesus has been poured out to pay for my sins, right? Right? And what happened for y'all? Well, I should just go ahead and live like I want to, and my sins will all be covered by that blood, and it'll just be more of the blood of Jesus covering my sin. That's the way a lot of people look at it. God knows. They say, well, God knows I'm a sinner. God knows. He knows my heart. He knows everybody's heart. He knows how wicked our hearts can be too. He knows that the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Desperately wicked. The Bible says, who can know it? Nobody. Now listen, we don't even understand how wicked we can be. So he says, what shall we say then? Shall we just keep on going and just as if it doesn't matter, not on the narrow way you can't. Shall we do it that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Absolutely not. How shall we, listen, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? We are supposed, listen to me, once you are saved, you ought to be dead to sin. You say, how is that possible? How can I be dead to sin? I live in a world of sin. I live in a body of sin. How can I be dead to sin? I have a desire to sin. I have a want to sin. Are you that sleepy? Then quit yawning. You're making me want to yawn. How in the world can I avoid sin? How can I stay out of sin? I got it. I know how. I know. Y'all know how? I know how. Oh, stand away. You can't stay away from it. You try. You try. I know you trying to be honest with me. You try. That ain't going to cut it. Staying away is a good help. It is a good help. But you know what? There's sin everywhere. It's everywhere. It doesn't say, it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In sin, in a state of sin, in a lifestyle of sin, in sinful practices and sinful habits, sinful ways. How can we continue to do that? Hey, listen, I'm going to ask you a question. How can we continue to live in sin and it not bother us? Sometimes we fall into those old patterns. If you don't ever get bothered by it, probably something wrong with your salvation. Amen. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you. You might as well check your salvation if you can live in it and it don't bother you. I mean, either that or the Bible's telling me a lie here. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we? We can't just dwell there. Amen. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When we get up there and get in that baptistry, we're making a profession of our faith. We are professing publicly what happened inwardly. And that's why when I get ready to dunk somebody in the water, I say, I now baptize you, my brother or sister, whichever what it is, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried together with him in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Listen, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, dead, gone. We're to be dead to sin. Old ways, our old self. Behold, all things are become new. Why? Because now we have Christ. Christ lives within us. And if Christ lives, Christ will show up and Christ will act. And Christ will give us the power. And Christ will do what Christ will do through us if we are truly sacrificed ourselves to him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That picture, it's a picture, it's symbolic, but it's saying, I am dead with Christ. Me, the old me, is dead. It's gone. That person I was before don't live anymore. It's not just some ritual thing I go through. It's real. I'm really dead. I'm no longer the old me, the old Brandon, who was on his way to hell, who was nothing but a vile enemy of God. That person is dead. I am now a born-again creature. I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. I now have the Spirit of God living in me. I now have a home in heaven. I now have a Savior. I am not the same as I was before. And if I am not the same, I shouldn't be the same. If I'm not the same, I shouldn't act the same. If I'm not the same, I shouldn't talk the same. If I'm not the same, I should have different ways about me. I ought to have different desires about me. I ought to have a different vision, a different goal. Amen? A different love, different friends. Amen? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, that means just same way, the same way, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. I'm going to tell you something. Those 3 days and 3 nights before that stone rolled back, there was a dead body in that tomb. It was dead. It was still. It was mortified. It was there. It was not moving. It was cold. But I'm going to tell you, that morning the stone rolled back, it wasn't the same anymore. It was alive. It was glorified. Even so, should we also walk. Hey, talking about the narrow way. We also should walk in newness of life. So what God is saying there is that our life should be different. It should be brand new. I mean, maybe the new has wore off for you. But if the new has worn off your salvation, you need to revisit your salvation. You need to go back and think about what He's done for you. It should never get old and boring as a child of God to be saved. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody that don't appreciate their salvation. I sure wouldn't put much on them being saved either. They didn't care anything about it. I mean, it didn't mean nothing to them. There's too many people. Listen to me. There's too many people that just said some words, and they think they're saved because they said some words. You better listen to me this morning. Saying some words will get you a one-way ticket to hell. Amen. Salvation is not works. It is a work of grace. Amen? But God, the Holy Ghost, listen, you've got to know you're lost. You've got to know you're dead inside. You've got to know that you're hellbound. You've got to know that sin is destroying you. And when you see that, you will turn to God and say, Lord, I need help. And He'll say, Christ done all the helping you need. Trust that His blood was shed for you. Trust that He paid the sin debt for you. And believe on Him and trust Him to pay your sin debt. And when you put your faith in Christ, it is finished. And there's a newness that happens. Yes, we have to grow. Yes, we have to grow in understanding. Yes, we have to grow in wisdom. Yes, we have to grow as believers and grow as Christians. Grow in grace. We're to do that. And no, everybody in here ain't got it sewed up yet. But there ought to be a desire to keep growing. And you grow as you walk the narrow way with Jesus. You don't grow sitting down on your blessed assurance and waiting on the rapture. You grow walking the narrow way. The Bible says we should walk. It's right there in my King James Bible. Even so, we also should walk. Amen? We should walk. Amen? Hey, walking means walking, don't it? And it tells us how to do it. It says walk in newness. In a constant state of newness of life. Walk with that new life showing. Walk in a state of, I am brand new. I am Christ. I am walking with Him. I can't walk in newness of life without Christ. Because if I'm walking without Christ, that means I'm listening to ungodly counsel, and I'm walking in the way of sinners. I'm sitting in the seat of the scornful. I've gotten pulled aside. I've turned to the right hand or the left. I've taken my eyes off Jesus. My eyes are full of darkness. I don't know where I'm going. There's no fellowship between me and God. Because the Bible says if thine eye be single or if our eyes are on Jesus, our whole body shall be full of light. In other words, that newness will be there. That glory of God will be there. That new creature will be shining forth. We will be walking with Him, holding His hand, growing in grace. This ain't rocket science, folks. This is pretty simple stuff. The real hard part is admitting that you're not walking in newness of life. That's the hardest part. It's saying, you know what, preacher? I believe you're right. I think that's what the problem is. I haven't been walking in newness of life. I've been walking in darkness, and I didn't even realize it. That's the hard part. Verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together. That's a big if right there. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, again, that glory will shine. That glory, you'll see that glory. That glory comes out. Listen, that glory comes out in your words, in the way you talk to your sister, in the way you talk to your brother, in the way you talk to your wife, and the way your wife talks to you, the way you talk to your mother, the way your mother talks to you, the way you talk to your Christian friends, the way you talk to the lost. It comes forth in the decisions you make, the choices you make, the way you spend your money. It comes forth in your mannerisms, your characteristics, your way of life, your conversation, in your walk. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying if you expect to walk that narrow way with Jesus, you cannot serve sin. You cannot serve it. You have got to get victory over it. You have got to come to the realization and the understanding that when sin rears its ugly head in your life, and it will, mark it down, it will rear its ugly head. But every time it rears its ugly head, you must see it as your enemy, and you must put it down in the grace of God. Just as when you see a spider crawl across your kitchen floor, ladies, you don't sit and ooh and ah over it. You take a shoe and you mash that sucker. You see that mouse crawling around behind your refrigerator? You don't sit and want to try to build a house for it to live in. You set a mouse trap. It's just like when you see that copperhead coming across a yard. You don't sit and think, boy, it looked pretty in a cage. You get a gun and you kill it, or a hoe, and you chop its head off. It's an enemy, and it needs to be destroyed because it does not do you any good. It's not profitable to you. In other words, it's going to cause you harm. And that's the way you and I are to look at sin, except it's more vile and more of an enemy than any of those other things I ever thought about being. Our old man is crucified. It means he's killed. Our old man is put to death with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That reminds me of Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, this new life, this life on the narrow way, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not me, it's Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. I put to death the old man so the new man can live. Because the old man and the new man cannot live in the same body. A house divided against itself, that house shall not stand. Amen. That'd be like a woman. A woman that had been divorced and remarried trying to live in a house with her ex-husband and her new husband. How far is that going to go? How long is that going to last? That's right. It ain't going to last very long because you got two people there that say, hey, that's mine. Oh, that's mine. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a war. And guess what? Ain't nobody going to come out victorious. The whole thing's going down. You're new in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Listen to what it says. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That conversation, that word, that means manner of life. That you get rid or put off, get rid of concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, that old you is corrupted by these lusts that lie to you. Listen up here. They lie to you and they tell you it's fine. This is the way you've always been. It'll be okay. And those lusts turn into sin, which destroys your walk. It's a lie. It's a devil's lie. You get, listen, no soldier on the battlefield welcomes a bullet. Doesn't welcome a rocket. Doesn't welcome a hand grenade. So why would Christian welcome sin? You need to see it like a bullet or a rocket or a hand grenade fired by the evil one to destroy your relationship with Christ and your testimony and your influence on anybody else. You're on the narrow way. That's ungodly counsel and sinner's ways and scornful seat. That's exactly what those things are. Look at Colossians 3:9. We'll look at one more and then we'll get on and move and get done here in just a second. Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3:9. Listen to what the Bible says. Well, actually, I'll back up there. Verse 8-9. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy conversation out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So listen to me. If you're going to walk the narrow way with Jesus, amen, listen, there's a right kind of anger and a wrong kind of anger. Hey, listen, there's an anger called righteous indignation. That's when you get angry against the devil and sin. But when you get angry because you feel like you've been mistreated, and rather than being merciful, then God says there's something wrong with that anger. Amen? Wrath, when it just sits and you don't get mad outwardly. Look up here. Look up here at me. You don't get mad outwardly. You don't boil over. You don't scream and holler. It just sits under the surface and boils like a pot with a lid on it, waiting for somebody to take the lid off and the steam to hit them in the face. That's wrath. We don't, none of us ever had that problem, do we? I mean, it's just sitting under. You might could smile on the surface, but if somebody says the wrong word to you, somebody acts the wrong way, you better look out. Hey, God says that don't belong with a new man. I'm just trying to help you. I know stuff like this kind of tightens you up inside because you say, ooh, that's me. That, you know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost saying you need to get right about that. That's the Holy Ghost saying you need to get a little repentance going on in your life. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not trying to make you mad. You get mad, that's your own problem. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. And it's a malice. That's when you get so mad you're ready to hurt somebody. Hey, that's when you're ready to hurt somebody. We ain't who we used to be. We're not who we used to be. You hearing me? It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world does. You are not who you used to be. You are a Christian. The world, if hear what I'm going to say to you. If you're going to get wrinkled up every time the world gets ugly with you, you're going to stay wrinkled up. Don't you understand what's coming? Persecution. Persecution's coming like you've never dreamed. If the Lord doesn't return soon, America is going to be an incredibly hostile place for Christians to live. We are already given over to baby killing. We're already given over to sodomites. I'm telling you, I just read yesterday that in Russia, homosexuality is not tolerated. In Russia. I'll tell you, Russia's acting like we used to, which is really startling to me. I don't have no faith in Russia neither, but I'm just saying, at least they're acting better than we are. And all the queers, and I'm going to say queers because they are queer, they're surely not gay. They're very odd and peculiar. They're queer. Amen. All the sodomites from Russia are considering, the United States has told them that it would grant them amnesty if they want to come over to America so they can have their freedoms. We've become a safe haven for sodomites. Do you think, for one second, that Christianity is welcome in a place like that? There's just too many of us right now to get rid of. Just wait. And if you get wrinkled up every time somebody has a problem with you because you're a Christian, you're going to have a lot of problems. God said, through the Apostle Paul, we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of blasphemy. Let me tell you something. We have got to stop saying stuff like, oh my God. That is filthy. We have got to stop using language that's ugly to God. Amen. If something bad happens and you say, oh, Jesus, and you're just saying it as a slang word, that's blasphemy. You say, Jesus Christ, that's blasphemous. We're not to talk like that. We're not to use his name in vain. That's using his name for vain reasons. Amen? There's so much that there's a whole message on taking the Lord's name in vain. I ain't got time to preach. I'm almost done. Y'all stay with me. I'll be done in a second. Filthy communication out of your mouth. God don't want us talking nasty. God don't want us joking about sinful things. It's making a mock of sin. Lie not one to another. Listen, telling lies, God says you expect to walk the narrow way and you're lying? So I'm not lying. I just didn't tell it all. Look up here at me. When you don't tell the whole truth, you're telling lies. When you twist the truth to make everything okay, you're telling lies. When you don't tell it all, or when you tell, look up here, when you tell somebody you're going to do something and then you don't do it, you're lying. Amen, young people. I'm serious as I can be. When you say I'm going to do it, you look your mom and dad straight in the eye and you say I'm going to do it and you don't do it, you lied. Same goes to grown-ups. God says put it all away from you and put on the new man. which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. If you put that sin, if you mortify, if you kill that sin that comes at you, if you destroy it, you put it down. Amen. It's a constant battle. It's a constant throwing up the shield. It's a constant swinging of the sword. That's what battle is. Clang, 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 clang. It's a constant fight because Satan's constantly throwing things at you. And if you don't take it seriously, you are going to get overwhelmed by the sin and beat down, and you won't be able to walk anymore. And you'll say, I don't know why I'm not enjoying church anymore. I don't know why I don't read my Bible anymore. I don't understand why my prayer life stinks. I don't understand why I'm having so many problems with my brothers and sisters and my husband and my wife. I don't understand why I can't get along with people at my job. I just don't understand why all this stuff's going on in my life. God is trying to get through to you that you need to get up and fight. And trust Him for the strength to fight. Ask Him for the strength to fight. Ask Him for the power of the Holy Ghost in your life to fight. For he that is dead, Romans 6 verse 7, is freed from sin. I'm going to stop there. I want you to think on that statement. He that is dead is freed from sin. How is that, preacher? How is that so? Because if I'm dead and I get out of the way, Christ can live and Christ ain't going to lose. And if Christ is the one fighting my battles, then my battles are all going to be won. And every time sin comes at me, if I trust Christ to knock that sin out of the way so that I can continue my walk with Him, then Christ will knock that sin out of the way. Every time temptation comes, if I yield to Christ instead of the temptation, I'm going to get victory and I'm going to get stronger. And with every step with Christ, I get stronger and I gain wisdom. And I become a better Christian than I was before. Look up here, and I have victory. You know how you like to have victory? You know, hey, look. You know the other night how you didn't win what you wanted to win? Remember the other night you wanted a trophy and you didn't get it? Remember how down you were? If you'd have won that trophy, you'd have been excited, wouldn't you? You know what? When we get the victory through Christ, we can get excited. But when we don't and we get knocked down, we do wrong, we get knocked down, we get all down. Oh, what a victory. That's the reason that somebody wrote that little kid's song. I don't know if it's a kid's song or not, but victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. I've said to Satan, get thee behind, cause victory today is mine. That's why we sing, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Why? Because we can get the victory. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. There's a reason why those songs are there. It's because others have gotten that victory. And if they can get that victory, you can get that victory. And if you get that victory, you'll be excited about what you have in Christ. You'll be excited about walking the narrow way. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the message. We thank you for the time we spent in the house of God. And we pray, Lord, for power, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give us that victory. Lord, we pray that you might just overwhelm us, Lord, with your power. Lord, we pray, Father, that, Lord, you might bless the invitation. Lord, we just ask that, oh, Lord, that we might walk within that narrow way. Lord, I don't know the things that you've addressed in the hearts of your people, but, Lord, I know that you've dealt with them, and, Lord, you've shown them things this morning. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if you've been working on some soul here this morning, and Lord, you've been showing them some area of their life, and they know that there's some things that need to be repented of, Lord, I pray this morning they'd come and repent of that sin in their life. Lord, that they might come and they might get victory. And Lord, I just pray that as we go out of here, Lord, that we just go out of here victorious and thanking you for the victory that you've given to us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a wonderful hour.